It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room with flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing. It'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of 1041 KQTH or the EW Scripps Company.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Slowly make its way down. I am giddy, in fact, because I am here celebrating two of my favorite things in the entire world, sausages and suds. And when you're thinking about the chemistry connection, the pairing potential of great craft sausages and great local craft beer, they have all come together under one place, under the same roof. We're coming to you live from 1055 Brewing and Sausage House at 110 East Congress in the heart of downtown Tucson. I am hoisting a glass of the Congress Street Ale, and we're going to be talking with J.P. Viborni, head brewer and co-owner, and the man with the magic here, about his thoughts about one of these great iconic brews that 1055 has issuing forth from their taps. But without further ado, you know, I take my celebrity co-host decisions every week very seriously. And if you wake up early in the morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m., you get the privilege to listen to our celebrity co-host because he comes to you live. He waxes lovingly and poetically about, politics, food, and everything in between. He's the host of Wake Up Tucson on KVOI 1030 The Voice. My good friend, Chris D. Simone, is in the house. Chris D. Simone, how are you, brother?
Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Long time since you've been on the show, man.
Yeah, the last time we were up in Oral Valley, you were up in my hood, so it was good to have come down to downtown and do sausage and suds with you today, so thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. It's nice to see you, out at this hour. usually when you get off the air at 9 o'clock every morning, you probably go home and sleep for several hours.
Well, no, what happens is it's like 7:05 in the evening, right? My kids and I are watching something together on TV, and I go, all right, I got to start making coffee for tomorrow morning. Like, what are you doing? I go, I've got to go to bed. Go to bed soon.
This is also our listeners that know that he has the city and county bureaucrats shaking in their shoes every time they tune in the dial. But I love the fact that at Wake Up Tucson, food has always been at the center of the Wake Up Tucson story because you are, in your words, are an incorrigible foodie.
There's truth to that. I grew up in a food family, Italian-American family from New York. My dad was a partner in a wholesale food import business in Brooklyn, so I grew up surrounded by amazing food and ingredients, and both sides of my family, men and women in an Italian family, all cooked. So I got hooked, and then as I moved through here, my business is hospitality consulting, restaurants and hotels, and it's just kind of and I love to cook, so it became part of the image of the show. They were also fighting for small business on the show, so it's the perfect thing. Eat local. And I always paraphrase Marvin Shanken from Wine Spectator, who said, life's too short to drink crap wine.
That's right.
Life's too short to eat bad food.
To eat bad food and just say no to the chains.
Correct.
But anyway, and this is really the spirit that weaves its way through your show. And I love the fact that it is really dedicated to local. And in your restaurant consulting, your hospitality consulting world, I have actually observed restaurants and other hospitality clients listen to what you say.
It's frightening.
Take action. With what you suggest, and look, their business goes through the roof. I've seen it happen, Chris.
It does work once in a while.
Yes, listen to Chris. He knows what he's talking about.
Remember, you've done this because you've sat with clients, right?
Yes.
So they're interviewing me thinking, am I good enough? Does this guy have the chops? I'm just trying to figure out if they're going to change.
Right.
That's exactly. All I'm doing.
That's right.
If there's some sort of indicator that they might change, we can have a discussion.
You're on it.
If right. not, no, it was not going to happen.
So I really enjoyed your sort of visual slideshow of your vacation. You actually went, and it's wonderful that you're on the show today, because you went to the world's Mecca of sausages and suds. You actually spent some time in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, making your way through the links and the drinks back there as well. What are you bringing back in terms of discoveries there on the sausage scene?
When you told me we were going to do this and you invited me, that was like 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, before you even knew I was going to Milwaukee.
That's right. Well, you know, to get to your publishers, it takes a little time to catch you on the calendar.
So the idiosyncrasy of me being in Milwaukee 2 weeks before coming to do this show with you today is awesome. It is what's really amazing. Every 3.5 feet in Milwaukee, there's a local neighborhood bar. I mean, literally, they'll have their old Blatt's beer sign and neon above it.
Yes.
I mean, so that's amazing. I was visiting a college buddy when I was out there. He has a house 4 blocks from Lake Michigan, and there's a park system with a whole path and everything. But at the park system, there's a beer garden right on the lake.
Of course.
So literally, that Friday night, long tables. It feels like this place a little bit, right?
Right.
Brats. We had brats with bacon sauerkraut, for goodness sake.
God bless them.
It was some spicy brown mustard.
So I was going to ask you, is Wisconsin still a brat-driven sausage story? I mean, you come here to 1055, you almost lose count how
right.
many craft sausages, handmade by the very gifted hands of Ben Forbes, and finished off by Chef Ivor Kreiderman. But is it really kind of a brat-based business in Wisconsin on the sausage side?
You know, it is, except for the Italian side. So I found this place called Glorioso's Market in Milwaukee, and I get there, and there's the pizza guy making rice balls out of cini. There's prosciutto and salami
beautiful.
Hanging from metal hooks. But in the corner, there's a guy making homemade Italian sausage, and who's their butcher? Right?
That's just
so on the if you're from the Italian side of the world, the sausage is amazing. But also the brat side of the world, it's there. Their downtown's really amazing. They have their river walk that goes through their downtown. And
oh, they do.
Oh, you can kayak through their downtown.
Oh, I love that. All right, one day, you know, there will be an edge of the Santa Cruz River winding its way through downtown Tucson. If our elected officials are listening, perhaps that might happen
one
day.
You and I have talked about if we're ever going to lead a trip together someplace.
Yes, we're all over that.
Right? We should do a Milwaukee trip.
All right, I'm in.
Their public market downtown. It's like the I was just in Anaheim a couple of months ago, and they have the Packing House in Anaheim.
Yes.
Where literally it's 38 different restaurants. All in one
all
spot.
All there, yeah.
It's kind of like the All-American Food Court here, but times 50.
Yeah.
Okay? But they have that same concept at the Milwaukee Public Market, and it's just amazing. You know, you're repurposing the old building and making it feel a little retro, but you can eat Thai food, brats, seafood, burgers, you know, Korean barbecue.
All on this little circuit tour.
Yeah.
What's your take on downtown Tucson? I mean, look, I moved here in 1978. The mantra was revitalization of downtown Tucson. That was in 1978.
Right.
Finally happened.
It is happening. It's great to see. What we need to do, what downtown has to figure out one day, is how do we get the people from the edges of town,
yes.
right,
yes.
to come down here?
Yes, yes.
Because that's the big thing, right? Because if you look at, like, I always say, if you look at income, right, average income of most of the city of Tucson might be half of what it is in Oral Valley, Marana, Foothills,
yes.
and the east side. Downtown, as they're building all these great things like the 1055 Brew House, they have to figure out one day how to convince human beings, more of them, because I live in Oral Valley. I'm the freak who's downtown twice a week. Like, oh, you go downtown?
So that's just part of the continued story. But anyway, we're so glad you're here. We're going to be rolling up our sleeves and sinking our teeth into some great sausages and knocking them down with some award-winning craft beer. We're talking to Chris DeSimone. He is our celebrity co-host in this full hour on this live broadcast from 1055 Brewing Company and Sausage House. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and thanks to our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to our good friend Tom Firth from Hacienda del Sol about the second annual Tucson Heritage Food and Wine Festivals. In
Nothing
the meantime,
better than Tom.
You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
When it comes to rustic cuisine, there's a promise and a purity that rustic stands for. And One Foothills Restaurant is putting rustic right at the center of the plate. Commoner & Co. Executive Chef Kyle Nottingham says rustic is about those dishes that take you back to a moment in time, a special place, a memory in the making, all what he calls pivotal parts of the dining experience. And Kyle's new seasonal menu is a true rustic reward, like his Southwest-inspired mac and cheese with local chorizo, house house-made pasta and a five-cheese bechamel, and his pan-seared rainbow trout with couscous and a blistered grape and herb salad. His New York strip has also become a quick hit with its fresh tomatillo salsa, as well as his shrimp gazpacho with cucumber, melon, and summer peppers. Commoner's new cocktail menu is also a celebration of the season with fresh, floral, and fragrant expressions of the spirits that we all love. Taste some summer today at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
Raise your pints high in celebration of a guy who really knows how to make beer, J.P. Viborni. He is going to be with us on the a little bit later on in the show, talking about this wonderful thing that he and his business partner, Chris Squires, did to say yes to Tucson's thirst. And as well, we found out that they're saying yes to Tucson's hunger, because Tucson is both thirsty and hungry. But here is our celebrity co-host, Chris DeSimone, back from Wake Up Tucson.
Thank you, Matthew.
Our next guest is a very good friend of both of ours.
Very true.
You know, I go way back with Tom Firth. I go back like two decades.
Wow.
With Tom and Susan, and drinking their kids' wine. You know, I mean, it's just, you hang out with the Firths and just excellence manifests. And he's joining us right now because there are great food and wine festivals across southern Arizona, but one of my favorites is the Tucson Heritage Food and Wine Festival happening in just a few weeks at the Hacienda del Sol. Here to tell us a little bit about it is our good friend Tom Firth. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Matt. How's everyone doing? Chris DeSimone there today.
Tom. What's going on, buddy?
We got the two guru foodies of Tucson tonight.
Wow. I'm writing. Can I quote you on that, Tom Firth?
Yes, you can.
So you just put it on his LinkedIn account.
Typically, Chris and I don't travel together for national security purposes, but it's nice to be down here at 10:55. A brand, Tom Firth, that you're altogether familiar with.
Yes, I am. Congratulations to my friends at 10:55. Yeah, JP and Ivor and Chris, they're off to a pretty good start there, and I'm sure, you know, they're really happy about it, too, so.
Well, they are. You know, they're both sitting here right now, and they are glowing with all of the words that you just echoed. But look, you guys are coming up in just a few weeks on what I think is kind of a response to this enthusiasm around the fact that Tucson was named a couple of years ago the only city of gastronomy in all of North America. And you at the Hacienda del Sol, you guys thought a little bit bigger, a little bolder, a little bit more broadly about how we can kind of manifest the spirit of this designation and give Southern Arizona a chance to kind of experience it all in surround sound, all in the glorious grounds of the Hacienda. It's the Tucson Heritage Food and Wine Festival. You have one under your belt from last year. What are your plans for this year, Tom?
Oh, God. That was too much. All right. Well, what an intro. You got to love it, huh? So September 30th, Sunday, September 30th, from 5 to 8 p.m., we're doing our second annual Tucson Heritage Food and Wine Festival, like you said. And it's $65 a person, but when you hear the lineup, it's just an unbelievable value. You know, we've got, first of all, this year is a fundraising effort, so all the profits will be donated to Tucson Village Farm,
That's
which
terrific.
I think many of you are familiar with. It's a great nonprofit right there, Campbell and River. And actually, Chef Yim, our executive chef at the resort, his wife Becky has donated over 900 hours as the their chef for representing Tucson Village Farm. So Becky, we're hoping, will be there as well too. But yeah, this year it's a much more expanded format. We've got a Q&A with Janos Wilder, Ben Forbes, and Larry Park, a local farmer. And of course, everybody knows about Ben because the two gentlemen sitting next to you are having all their sausages made by Ben.
That's right, the Forbes Meat Company, so, yes.
Yeah, Ben Forbes, Forbes Meat Company. So he'll be there. He's going to be doing the Q&A with Janos and Larry, and then Ben's going to do a butchering demonstration as well as part of this. But this year we've got over 30 participants. In addition to our own culinary team, we've got, six or seven other restaurants. We have Don Guerra with Barrio Bread, Chef Roderick from Casino del Sol, Brent Singletary from Zona 78, Brian Smith from Maynard's, who's a local reigning Iron Chef champ this year.
Indeed.
Devin Sanner from the Carriage House. And then not to be left out is Chef Ivor Kreideman sitting next to you. So we've got it's a great lineup. And then in addition to that, we've got four or five different farms, five different wineries, Callahan, Chateau Tumbleweed. Who else do we got? Sonoyta Vineyards, Dos Cabezas. So all those guys will be there. We've got a few distillers coming, Hamilton, Elgin Distillery, and then Dragoon, 1055, and Iron Johns.
Okay, so you really there's not a stone that's gone unturned. So you're thinking about local. You're bringing the best from the cuisine community, the craft beer community, the craft distilling community, the arts community, the academic community, and you're giving people a chance to truly understand what this all means about indigenous flavors and ingredients that go back thousands of years and these kinds of things. And I love the collaborative spirit, Tom, because you really play well together with everybody in the community. And this is not just about one chef and one chef's vision. It's about reaching out and inviting everybody to be part of the conversation. And I think that that is what sets this event apart.
Absolutely. And how many cups of coffee have you had today, Matt?
he's had four since I got here, Tom.
I moved from coffee to beer.
Have you let Chris speak at all today? you were on fire, pal.
Let me just paint a picture for you quickly. Christy Simone gets 3 hours every day, Tom Firth. I get an hour a week. I have to talk this fast. But anyway, second annual Tucson Heritage Food and Wine Festival. It's happening on September the 30th at 5 p.m. at the glorious Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort. This is one of those events, fellow foodies, that will out, I can promise you. It did last year. You need to be a part of it. And Tom Firth, what is the best, most efficient, easiest way for our listeners to make sure that they're not left out of all the fun on the 30th?
Well, they can make reservations by calling 529-3500, and that's the number to the grill at Hacienda del Sol, or you can go online to haciendadelsol.com and purchase tickets there. So there's two ways to not be left out, and it's going to be a great event. Really,
there it is, 529-3500, or check it out online, HaciendaDelSol.com. The best of Tucson's craft conversation on the cuisine side, on the cocktail side, on the craft beer side, and Tom Firth and his family and his group are all putting it together for us. Tom Firth, thank you so much. Go enjoy the rest of your weekend. Big hugs to Susan, and we'll see you on the 30th.
Thanks, everybody. You guys have a great time. Talk later.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thanks to our sponsors. And when we come back, JP Viborny is in the house, and he has a lot to say just on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around.
Hey guys, summer is in full swing, which means that I'm in my pool day and night. And with all the entertaining I do, I can't afford to have a pool that doesn't sparkle. And that's why I've put my trust in Ambiance Pool Service. Locally owned and operated, Ambiance will keep your pool operating efficiently and effectively all the time. But there's so much more than weekly cleaning service. Their licensed technicians are my go-to team for equipment installation and repairs as well. In fact, they just installed a cool LED lighting system for me that keeps my pool parties going deep into the night. Put an end to that constant battle over contaminants once and for all and call Ambiance Pool Service today. 425-9186. That's 425-9186. Or swim over to AmbiancePoolService.com to learn more. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
Fellow foodies, you're listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell and my honorable celebrity co-host from Wake Up Tucson, Christy Simone.
Matt, what's going on, buddy?
Where's your beer?
My wife has it right now.
Yeah,
so.
How does that happen?
It just happens. We love each other, so she gets to share my beer.
Okay, so that's the secret to a long...
The nice lady from 1055 got me this this Kolsch that was just great, and then I left it over there with her, and... I came over because I wanted to be here on time and ready to go.
Oh, well, Ken, you're all about service.
Efficient.
We'll talk to the missus after. That's right. Get your husband a beer, for crying out loud. What a great segue, because there is a guy here who has been getting this community beer for over 5 years, and he and his business partner, Chris Squires, they responded with enthusiasm to a clarion call in this community because Tucson was thirsty, and they saw that as the spirit, as the action that was necessary to swing in and do what's right for Southern Arizona, the craft brewery community. His name is JP Viborni. He's the co-owner and the head brewer, and he's right here now. JP, what's going on?
Hey, thank you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Chris. Good to be here. Thanks for coming down. Chris, we're going to get you a beer real quick. Sorry about that. I didn't know you were going to hijack.
That's all right. It's not pretty when he goes like 10 minutes without a beer.
Yeah, we can fix that.
But speaking of long wedded matrimony, the first time you've been on the show since you and your gorgeous bride celebrated your nuptials.
Oh, thank you.
Look at the glow across your face.
It's a wedding glow, not a beer glow. Absolutely. We also have a 2.5-year-old little boy, and he contributes to the glow as well.
He absolutely does. He have a beer named after him yet?
No, but it looks like next week he might.
Okay, great.
All right. No secrets. Right. Not today.
Include Chris and myself in the R&D part of that process.
Anyway,
I remember talking to Chris Squires in May of 2016. He wore that very headset that adorns you now, talking about this crazy idea about taking advantage of a state... a new state law that allows small businesses to raise money in a way that's so fun and fresh and fascinating than ever before. You guys were the first Arizona business, not brewery, business to take advantage of this new law. 2 years later, check it out, man. Congratulations. It worked.
Thank you very much. It not only worked.
God bless you, young man.
It reflected what we're trying to do here. It's super.
Skull.
Skull.
Cheers.
Beautiful. Yeah, now we can do it. Can we rewind? Let's start the show over. You're listening to... I'm sorry.
It was a great law that reflects what we're trying to do here with the community-oriented location. It was a community-oriented fundraise. A lot of people here in town and a lot of patrons and passion investors got us here today.
Yeah, and here today is something that I, ironically, have a hard time putting into words, because when you think about Tucson's first traditional beer hall, it has that beer hall, you know, vibe to it. Setting is just as important as the food and the drink that you're serving, and you guys hit it out of the park.
Thank you very much. I got to give credit to Forest Architecture and M.W. Morrissey to help create this beautiful space that acts as a canvas and a backdrop for everybody's good time.
Now, we're going to be talking with Ivor Kreiderman here a little bit later on. With you hanging on with us, we're going to be talking about some of the new beers, certainly the sausages, but you're now open 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And the mayor was here to officially open the bar. The bar is open. There was a proclamation from on high.
In Bavarian tradition.
In Bavarian tradition. Yeah. That's right. And boy, did the community respond to the call? I mean, how's business been over the last 2 weeks?
Fantastic. As you mentioned earlier, we've been along time fan of saying Tucson's thirsty, and they're hungry too, and they've they've shown up in their support and their smiles and their good reviews, and it's been really fantastic.
What I love about the concept is the idea that you'll be able to cut through a lot of, there's a lot of stuff I feel downtown that's a little similar to it, and the idea that you guys really shine out from that is great.
Thank you.
That's
Chris.
What I love, the concept that you're, when I first saw that this was coming up, I'm like, oh, this is a really good complimentary piece to what's going on downtown.
Awesome. Thank
you. So I'm glad you guys are doing it. One question I have for you is the brew guy.
Yeah.
So I always talk about all these, there's a lot of craft beer in Southern Arizona, right?
Yes.
So as you're designing your beers, how do you cut through the noise? When you talk about a lot of the different beers that are out there, you guys are all a brotherhood. I got it. You're hugging it out. But how do you strategize when you're concocting beer flavors to try to make yourself separate and different?
So there's two things that we go with. There is a lot of beer, a lot of great beer in Tucson and in Southern Arizona. And we have two mandates for myself and our brewers, and we want to use local ingredients more and more to reflect the community that we're part of that supports us. And the second is to make more and more under 5.5% beers. We consider ourselves an approachable location. We want to be family friendly. We want to keep that going. And so we like to have more than one when we sit down and have dinner. So we tend to shy away from those 10% beers. And this is what we're drinking right now. What we just brought you, Chris, is aptly named. This is the last beer we brewed at our old location.
Right.
And it is the first released here at this location, as far as a new beer. Our assistant brewers, Patrick and Steve, it's their recipes. We're super excited to have it. And it's named after Conger Street. So this is Conger Street
Pale Ale.
That's what
I'm Yeah, perfect.
It's fantastic. It's got, it's 5%. It's got grapefruit peel on the nose, nice cascade, lemon, and grapefruit, and very clean finish.
That's
we think
beautiful.
It fits in very well.
So much. And we're going to actually be talking about flavor profiles inside the glass with flavor profiles, you know, in the bun.
Yeah.
Because it's all about
it's
pairing. But anyway, we have to take a quick news break and thank a couple of our sponsors. And when we come back, the guy that runs the back of the house, Chef Ivor Kreiderman, who has one of the funnest names to say in all of radio, Ivor Kreiderman, is actually going to be with us on the other side of this break. Quick news break. You're listening on The Menu live on 104.1. KQTH. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you've heard me talk about Tino's Pizza for quite a while. Not only for their consistency and quality ingredients, but simply for the way they've done business here for nearly 35 years. You see, their family business is built on relationships. It's about a great staff with a style of service that keeps the customer at the center of everything they do, while serving up pizzas, calzones, wings, salads, wines, and craft beers, all in a setting that captures the essence of those neighborhood pizza places that we all remember growing up. So whether it's meeting friends and family there for a casual lunch or dinner, swinging by for some food and growlers to go, getting it delivered directly to your door, or having them cater your next special event, just ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tanqueverty Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town, or check them out online at tinospizza.com. Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I am so excited to announce the next in our series of global culinary and cocktail adventures, and you're invited! In October of 2019, we'll be heading to the Amalfi Coast and the Greek Isles on the Edge, Celebrity Cruise's newest ship, with nearly 30 unique restaurants and bars on board. We'll set sail from Rome, hitting some of the regions of the world known for their Epicurean excellence, including Sicily and Naples, Athens and Olympia, and a host of other delicious destinations on this 11-night adventure. We'll also enjoy exclusive excursions that have been meticulously created just for our group by our partners at Bon Voyage Travel, including a day of food and wine on the island of Malta, as well as a private tour and tasting at an ouzo distillery in Greece. We'll get a behind-the-scenes look at how their national spirit is made before we head to some local olive groves to immerse ourselves in premium olive oil. And we've added some exciting events on board as well, from our wine tasting kickoff to a private world mixology session. Let the countdown commence for the food and beverage trip of a lifetime and reserve your cabin while it's still available. Go to onthemenulive.com and click on the cruise link to learn more. That's onthemenulive.com and click on the cruise link. Bon voyage.
You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. We're broadcasting live from 1055 Brewing and Sausage House, 110 East Congress. You just heard a commercial about our culinary and cocktail cruise. Yes, we are setting sail for the Amalfi Coast and the Greek Isles. You've been hearing about this for a long time. Your response has been unbelievable. Overwhelming response. In fact, we only have like a couple of cabins left. If you want to learn more about this trip and taste a lot of what we're going to be experiencing ourselves when we're overseas, September the 13th at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics in St. Philip's Plaza, 6 o'clock. Come and meet the people from Bon Voyage. Meet the people from Celebrity Cruises. Taste some ouzo. Taste some Italian wines. Enjoy some great Greek cuisine from Pelio Grill. Some wonderful Italian cuisine from Cafe Chirino. Even try a Maltese pastizzi, which is the street food pastry of Malta. We're going to be spending an entire day on Malta eating and drinking all the while. Anyway, it's happening on September the 13th. If you want to come, there's no charge. You have to send me an email to RSVP onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to be up with our next guest here in just a second, but you know that this show would not be possible whatsoever were it not for our very loving and loyal sponsors. They make it possible for me to talk passionately about the local food and beverage scene. So please get to know these folks. Say yes to these folks. Spend money with these folks and appreciate the fact that they support local. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Ambiance Pool Service, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars, Nancy Russell, our certified personal trainer, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, Russell Public Communications, and our newest sponsor, Quail Distributing. Big round of applause for all of our sponsors, because they are why we are here. Oh, and my goodness, they let anybody in the door. The classy alcoholic just walked in. Quick, but don't turn your head. No one's supposed to see what he looks like. Back with our celebrity co-host, Christy Simone. Take over. I'm out of breath.
Well, we're here at 1055 Brew and Sausage House, and we just had a great interview with Tom Firth, of course, from Hacienda del Sol, the brewmeister here. You're doing a great job on this Congress Street beer here. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
JP Viborti, head brewer and co-owner and man about town.
Now, if you're going to nail this guy's last name like you're supposed to.
Okay, right. So, JP, you and Chris sat down, and you said, look, for you to do this whole craft sausage thing,
yeah.
For you guys to like do something that is just not being done here in Southern Arizona, there was nobody else you even thought about. You knew right away who was going to get the assignment, and it was Ivor Kreiderman, right?
Thank you very much.
Name like that. How could you go wrong?
What's up, Ivor? How you doing?
Boy, guys, that's way too much. I could not do any of this without my long-lost sausage brother, Ben Ford, so we have to make sure he gets a lot of credit here, too.
That's right. What was it about this this guy, J.P. Viborni, that you said was a must to run the whole kitchen operation at 1055?
There's a lot of jokes that go along with a sausage shop, and we won't get into those.
It's a family show.
But we will say that Ivor loves sausage.
All right.
And we knew right away that he's the guy to put sausage in his hands.
Right on.
My gosh.
And there's our first hashtag of the show, Ivor loves sausage. Ivor Kreiderman. So, you know, we're going to get to the menu here in a minute because, look, people are going nuts about this place. You know, like 14 sausages isn't enough for Ivor Kreiderman. You need 15 on the menu, and you're doing some things that I don't think have ever been tried before, much less done. But where did your whole story start? I mean, you love food. Where did that love affair first start?
I mean, it starts with my father. He's a chef. He's retired now, but he's a chef. And ever since I was a little kid, it was watching him cook and then starting to cook with him by the time I was 5 or 6. He had a public access show when I was like 7 years old. And one of the episodes was cooking with kids. So I was on there at 7 or 8, I think. And I'm slicing mushrooms with a 14-inch blade, talking to him and talking to the camera and then talking to him again, not looking at the mushrooms, but just sitting there slicing mushrooms. And I guess I just kind of got the curse. And
that's
and
a child engagement suit right now. You well, let your son
this
with
is the
14
late 80s, night? Early 90s.
Thank you.
So it's, things were a little less less strict then.
Right. Exactly. So you couldn't say no to food.
Oh, you
knew at that point that was kind of that crystallizing moment where you knew this is how you were going to spend.
I mean, I was probably in fourth or fifth grade, and I was like, why am I doing this? I know what I want to be for the rest of my life. Because it was just what I love.
Beautiful.
Then.
Well, and the stars aligned. I mean, I know you came to this whole conversation, I think, from the catering and the food truck side of things, right?
Yep. That was where me and JP and Chris all really started coming together was the Chef's Kitchen food truck. We started doing some beer dinners and things like that with 1055, and it just the relationship grew from there. And as soon as they started talking about this place, we just knew that that marriage was.
This guy was doing some really cool things with foie gras out of a food truck for a charity dinner in a parking lot. We knew we needed to keep him around.
That was a foie gras and bone marrow creme brulee.
On a food truck.
Yeah.
I love that. And I'm glad that foie gras, you know, well, we need a whole another hour to talk. I wrote a story for Inside Tucson Business about foie gras. And about the good people on that conversation and the bad people, and I've gotten rid of all the bad people in my life. So anyway, thank you for staying with the good side. But you actually you've got some serious street creds too, because I think the first time I met you, you were working at Lowe's Ventana Canyon, weren't you?
Yep, I was working there.
You had to work for Ken Harvey?
I was working for Ken Harvey for about 3.5 years.
Now, when you interviewed with Ken Harvey, did you have to like drop down and do 20? How many pull-ups did you have to do to work for Ken Harvey?
Luckily, he didn't make me do any of that stuff. At that time, I believe he was training for the Ironman.
He does three a year, he told me.
Yeah,
he does three Ironman a year.
That dude is intense, and he's a great chef.
That's right.
But he is an intense man.
It's going to be all I can do to get back to my car tonight. But that's JP's fault. So let's break down this menu. So when I sat with JP and Chris a couple of years ago, and they dreamed a little dream about what kind of food they wanted to accompany, to be the companion to world-class suds, sausage had to be at the center of the plate. So sausage makes the world go round here at 1055, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Sausage makes the world go round. We got all kinds of different ones. The one that's most dear to my heart is the Polish Leap.
The Polish Leap.
So it's my great grandmother's Polish sausage recipe, and in that recipe we just took away the water and we added some of the pale ale, the Leap pale ale beer,
replacing the water with beer.
That's what a concept.
Bringing wisdom to the legacy of great grandmother. May she now rest in peace. So, she's been doing it with water all these years, and you know, and this
it's the old country. You did a lot of things with just water,
you
know, sawdust and stuff.
It took hundreds of years to figure out what she was doing wrong. Anyway, so you called the Leap Polish, using Leap, which is the flagship beer here at 1055.
It was their first beer they made, so I figured, how appropriate would that be to just do that one.
Right on. So there's a secret to the sausage, right?
There's a secret to every sausage.
What makes this one so special, other than the fact that it was great-great-great-grandmother? Was there a technique, or was there an ingredient, or was there something that she did to make it her own?
Keep it really, really simple and really, really delicious, and then use local products. Like all of our pork is local.
Right.
It's treated well. It's, you know, happy pigs. Happy pigs.
They're hugging the pigs,
sausages.
Ivar. Is that what you're telling me?
They're hugging them. They're giving them rub downs, little shih-chew massages and things like that.
Walk us through you and Ben going through all these flavor profiles specifically for 1055 and the beer that this guy's doing.
It was a match made in heaven. As soon as we started talking, we just knew that we were on the same page and that we both loved what we were doing and loved what the other person was doing. So we just started bouncing ideas off of each other. Things like the duck. I was like, let's put a duck on the menu.
And how does duck manifest itself in this menu?
Just trying to think of exotic meats that we could use that would be palatable for people in Tucson and things like that. And really just like, hey, let's do something kind of Asian-y. And it was like, well, what can we use that's kind of Asian-y? I was like, oh, duck. I love duck.
Sure.
Like, let's do some ginger. And I got some lemongrass growing in my backyard, so let's not use
that's what you're calling it.
Something that can be grown here. Something that can be grown here, you know?
Now, tell me about the, I see vegetarian sausages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
vegan. Sell this carnivore on the vegan sausage, buddy.
All right, so we get those from the Real Veggie Meat Company. They're based out of Flagstaff.
Jonathan Netsky.
Right.
Yeah.
Still keeping it within the borders of the Grand Canyon state.
He came down and talked to everybody, talked to me, talked to the whole staff about his products.
A lot of passion.
Incredibly enthusiastic. Not many people are using this product. If I had to explain it in just a few words, it would be a very chunky falafel.
Okay.
So it's kind of that same texture. We fry it in a just veggie fryer, so it gets nice and crunchy. gets nice and crunchy, but still moist and chewy on the inside. It's a tempeh bean based product, which is indigenous to Arizona. So we're still trying to keep that like within 100 miles kind of feel.
One of the things I've heard about, I don't know if it was that particular one, was one of the vegetarian links that you had, is that you don't feel like you're making a sacrifice. So even carnivores, myself, would pull up one of these bad boys.
It's hearty, too.
It's hard. That's what I'm hearing. And you don't feel like you're missing something. And vegetarians say, look, there's no compromise. I'm not settling. This is a delicious dog, if you will.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to put the vegetarians or the vegans aside.
Right.
They're humans, too. We gotta treat them.
Most of them are
human. We gotta treat them.
Most of them are.
Treat them with equal rights.
Oh my goodness!
And stuff.
You know, all the celebrities keep around. There's Tom Eath, a man who he is a symbol of the Rotarian spirit, and one of Christy Simone's. he's a Wisconsin guy, to a Chicago guy. Anyway, he loves a good sausage. But anyway, you've got 15 on the menu, right? Did you start with 30 and have to whittle it down to 15, or what? And what it ended up on the cutting room floor?
If this was if I did not come aboard, JP would probably have 75 sausages on the menu. I had to pull him aside and be like, dude, we got to be realistic.
Perfection. We got the perfect 15.
Yeah. Yes, and when. It was many, many late nights of hashing out what we're going to do and which ones we really want to have on the menu. And then we believed that we developed the best possible range of flavors that we could.
And did you, what was kind of the R&D part of it? Did you sit down with Ben and just say, because look, Ben's been on the show a bunch of times. I love his spirit. I love the fact that he is a manual butcher. I mean, this guy really cares deeply about the true craft of butchering. Do you guys just get together with a blank canvas and say, these are the kinds of things we can do, these are the kinds of flavors that we can bring to the party, this would work particularly well, especially when we're talking about pairing it up with either a saison or a rich, robust, boozy kind of stout? How did that process work?
It pretty much just started off with me putting a lot of his sausage in my mouth and just doing that over and over and over again.
Repetitive.
It happens.
Repetitive. That's what happens.
Tasting different ones, getting back to him with what I thought, and then us, you know, mind melding and talking about what I would like different, or what I would like the same, or damn, that's perfect, leave that one alone, or
right.
You know.
What about is there one that kind of stands out as the most exotic? Like if I'm looking down the menu of the sausages, and I want to try something that I can almost be guaranteed does not exist anywhere else. What's the go-to? What's Ivor Kreiderman's recommendation?
That would be the bison.
The bison.
You're not getting a bison sausage anywhere else.
Who has bison sausages?
Especially this one.
Yeah, not in a restaurant. I've seen you can buy it, but
right.
Not in a restaurant.
Fire roasted corn, and then hatch green chili season just came in, so we were like, what better thing to do than throw some fresh hatch green chilies in there?
And when you actually you're doing your thing in the back of the house. You've got the bartenders, pulling the taps. Pairings are such a big deal. And so are you able to kind of talk to your guests and say, look, this particular sausage is really going to be activated intentionally with this particular beer? Did you guys kind of do a little play there when it comes to pairings?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody has their favorite beers. The staff is getting to know more and more, so they're recommending their favorites. Luckily, beer goes with a lot of sausage, so you don't have to be too choosy.
Right. You don't have to think too hard.
But for your upcoming segment, we've paired some beers with the desserts coming up, and that works really nicely. So you'll be hearing about that in a minute.
All right, beautiful. Well, the time has come for us to taste of Ivor Kreiderman's majesty. He has put before us what this town is already all abuzz about. Now, I'm going to watch you eat. Is this the lead Polish?
That's the lead
this
Polish.
This is. Let's just have a quick moment of silence for great grandmother Kreiderman. Was she Kreiderman on that side of the family?
Yes.
Okay.
Well. Griffiths.
Let's just if she wasn't, just lie.
It's on that side.
Part of the brand. It's part of the family crest, for crying out loud.
It's on that side.
So, God bless the Kreidermans. So, I want to see you hoist this sausage with fanfare and do it, treat it, love it, like they do in Milwaukee. I'm watching, Chris.
This is frightening. It's like, what? This is how low the show's gotten. We're watching me eat a hot sausage.
Here we go. All right, he's going in. Now, so he's not even thinking about it. He's got, it's all in the wrist. There's almost a pivot. There's a little pivot. Like, the wrist is, there's a hinge there a little bit. He's doing it with great confidence. He's not looking at thing out in the world.
It's like folding my piece of pizza and eating it that way.
You've done this before. I'm going to take a bite. What do you think?
That sausage is pretty spectacular, man. It really is.
I mean, it's mild in flavor, but it's It is what it is.
Perfect with the beer. I like that your sauerkraut has a crisp to it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, of course, sauerkraut can be quite soggy.
Of course, we make that in-house Bavarian style, so it has the caraway in there.
You're so white. And you should still get textural differences. Even when you're thinking about having a sausage, there's a bite to that, a lovely sweet profile. I don't know where that sweetness is coming through, but that's gorgeous. And the snap of the sausage, I look for that right away. It's almost like that, you know, that natural casing kind of pop.
That with a spicy brown mustard and this beer would just be like, that's it. That's sausage suds nirvana right there.
And may I say how beautifully it's working with the Congress Street
Pale
Ale. Well done. So all this is sausage and suds in all of its sophistication in surround sound. This is what we're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. And let's not forget about the bun. That bun is that was a work in progress as well. We got together with Rose, and they dealt with a lot of phone calls for me to get those perfect, and I believe that
New England style. Tell me about the French fries, because I saw one of my folks here when I first came in, like, man, these French fries are pretty special. Tell me what, they're going on Belgian fries?
It's Belgian fries, so they soak overnight, and we soak them in a special solution that I can't really tell you guys, and then
them down after the show.
And then we twice fry them, and it's a low temp and then a high temp, and it's super simple.
Just
little
gorgeous. Fries matter.
Oh, yeah,
good
they do.
Fries matter, right?
Yes, they do.
They absolutely matter. I have a conviction about fries. I'm serious. Almost in the way that Travis, you know, Reese over at 47 Scott, he has a conviction about French fries. There are good and bad and ugly. Fries matter.
Well, 80% of the restaurants in the world are sleepwalking on their fries, right?
Exactly. We're going to talk about something that's fun about pimento cheese right on the other side of this commercial right before we get to the sweet part of the conversation. But the time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to get a shot at earning a 1055 Brewing and Sausage House gift card. We thought about a fun trivia question to ask our listeners today, guys.
Yeah, we mentioned that this building is a great canvas for hosting everybody. And if you've been here... Also, if you've used our restrooms or something cool, can you tell me, 100 years ago, what occupied this building?
At 110 East Congress.
At 110 East Congress.
Oh, 100 years ago.
100 years ago.
Okay.
What shop was here?
Well, all right, if anybody gets it, I'm going to throw in... No, I'm not. That's good. Okay, so we want to know.
It's not Wiggorama. All right.
So we want to know, 100 years ago today,
The
occupant of 110 East Congress was... If you think you know the answer, send me a note right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. onthemenulive@gmail.com. The first person gets the right answer is going to get the gift card. If there are multiple... right answers, which I would just love if there were. We're going to give some other goodies too. But anyway, quick commercial break. Some more sponsors coming back, licking our lips with some pimento cheese, and then a little sweet talk with Beer Geek Bakery. Quick break. We're coming back on the other side on the menu live on 104.1 KQTH. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, you've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Red Snapper with rice noodle puffs and tomato sauce. Chicharrones with jicama slaw, Thai chili, mint, and basil. Bison meatloaf with kiwi, melon, and mulberry. These are the kinds of specials that rotate regularly at Boca Tacos and Tequila. And you thought Boca was only about tacos? Think again! Fresh off her appearance on the Food Network's hit TV program Chopped, Tucson chef Maria Maison continues to blow our minds back home at Boca with daily specials that showcase the personal expression of her unique Sonoran story. With bold flavors, fresh ingredients, and the kind of kitchen creativity that made her a national media star. I've always loved Boca for gourmet tacos and premium tequilas, and now there's even more to love with their daily lineup of entree specials. Now, where was I? Hot noodle soup with a guajillo chili puree. Pan-seared salmon.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at BocaTacos.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Menu live on 104.1 KQTH, live from 1055 Brewing and Sausage House with our celebrity co-host, Chris DeSimone, demonstrating remarkable protocol for handling a sausage like a sophisticated that you are. A sultan of sausages, if you will.
There was a samurai in Milwaukee 2 weeks ago. He taught me how to do it properly with honor and diligent. Well, so that's what I try to demonstrate for you guys.
You're a standing representation of the integrity and the responsibility. Anyway, Ivor Kreiderman. Kreiderman is back with
all
us.
Right.
People are talking about this pimento cheese, and I love that, kind of the soul of the South. Right, I mean, the pimento cheese, thank goodness it actually is finding itself relevant again at the center of the plate. You guys love this stuff, right?
Oh, I love this stuff.
What's going on with this?
I spent 6 years in North Carolina working at country clubs and stuff like that, so that's kind of where I got the idea, but then JP brought it up, and I was like, oh, God, we need to put that on our menu. So basically, everybody's grandma makes a pimento cheese,
right,
and they're all the best pimento cheese, and they're all right.
They're all the best, and they're all right.
Yep.
So that's it. And we all win.
They're all the best. Is that what you said?
They're all the best,
they're all right.
All the
and
kids
all
get
right.
a soccer trophy. Is that what we're talking about?
We need another hour for that conversation. Yeah, I'm proud of you, Jimmy. But anyway, you've got painted the crostini here, the grilled bread, with a little bit of
just a little herb oil.
Just a little herb oil.
Parsley and some good olive oil, and that's Barrio bread.
Mm.
Don's a master.
I tell you what, I love me pimento cheese, Chris.
Little bite.
Hold on a minute.
Creaminess.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
A little acid, a little.
You've nailed it. It's right. It's good and it's right.
Yep.
Ivor Kreiderman, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're going to do a little sweet talk here.
Yay.
Because dessert is taken seriously
at 10:55.
And there's a woman at the heart of the seriousness because she takes desserts and sweets seriously. Put your hands together for Emma Peterson from Beer Geek Bakery. Are you a qualified beer geek, Emma?
I think I am.
God bless you. Right. Welcome to the club.
There's a lot of research that I have to do. I have to for work.
So people come here, they make their way through the sausage mm-hmm. story, but you have to have that finish.
Yeah.
You have to have that end, that a little bit of closure to say that, look, we actually paid homage to the sausage mm-hmm. and such story. And when you're thinking about the kinds of sweets, knowing how people get there on the way, what kind of flavors are you bringing to the dance that you think is a way to honor the meal that people had before? Or even a meal on its own.
I try to incorporate a lot of savory into any of my sweets. That's really important to me. If someone buys a piece of cake, they want to eat it all. They don't want to eat a couple bites and be sick of it. So I try to make sure that everything has a savory element, whether, like, for instance, the brownie you're about to eat has a sage crust, and it's a cherry brownie. So the sage...
A sage crust on a chocolate brownie.
Yeah, and it's the cherry oatmeal stout that we're using. So everything I make has the beer in it, and I usually let the beer tell me what it wants to be when it grows up. So as hippie as that sounds, I swear it works.
So when did you first start making the trip in the savory with your sweet? When did you... Because that's usually something not a lot of bakers jump into. So what got you there?
Mostly just... being upset that I didn't want to eat the whole piece of cake, that it wasn't balanced enough. So I made sure that, you know, I started incorporating it with just balance and salt and herbs and things like that. And then it was really when I was the pastry chef at Proper, when Proper was still open. And that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So it was encouraged throughout all of the meal, you know.
So you're kicking out the dessert part of the 10:55 story here.
Woo.
You also have a little retail thing going on here as well, right inside 10:55.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Swing in, grab and go. Is that how it works?
Yeah. You just tell them that you want to take it to go, and it's wrapped up, and you can take it. And most of the stuff that we've focused on is meant to be, like... To go or to eat here, it's kind of like either way. So, because that's generally how I do it with all of my other accounts, is just, you know, you take it to go.
Right, right on.
Yeah.
So, we talked about the sage crust chocolate brownie, mm-hmm. which we're going to dig into. but there's something else special you also brought out. What's going on here?
So, they have a Kiefer Lime IPA right now, and I made a chili lime Rice Krispie treat, and I wanted it to really encompass everything that is my favorite part of Tucson, which is the south side of Tucson, and like the west, the southwest side of Tucson. So it's really savory. It's got a lot of chili powder, cayenne. It's got red pepper chili flakes, and
right,
it's got a little bit of condensed milk.
But it takes us back to our youth, so it brings us something familiar.
It's a play. Yeah, it's a play.
And you're doing that geeky thing to it.
Right.
Right? That makes it a qualified beer geek experience.
Right.
I'm going
in. So a chili lime Rice Krispie treat.
Right, and it's glazed with like a condensed milk beer.
Stop it, Emma Peterson.
I won't.
I'll take another one.
Okay.
Please. And one of those beers we heard so much about.
Oh, yeah. They're delicious. It's really easy when the beer is really good.
You have nailed it on that.
Thank you.
You don't go overboard on either the lime or the chili.
Awesome.
It's all balanced. It's like a great cocktail.
Yeah.
Like a great beer. It's all the balance of flavors. Now, how can people learn more about you? Come down here and meet you.
Yeah.
But, so how can they see you online?
Yeah, I mean, here and then also Facebook and Instagram. I always post what events I'm hosting, where I'm going to be. So that's kind of the best places. Find me on Facebook or Instagram or 1055 because I live here now. Yay!
She is Emma Peterson. don't let her go far from Beer Geek Bakery. Anyway, we are going to close things out with the Ivor Kreiner and Ivor. I would imagine that they let you go home from time to time.
It's rare.
If you have to go home and you have to take everything out of your refrigerator at home, everything comes out of the Kreiderman family fridge except for one thing. What is the one thing that Ivor Kreiderman cannot live without?
Pickles.
Pickles.
I love pickles.
The
juice and the pickles.
Right on. Ivor Kreiderman, thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Christy Simone reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's On the Menu Live. Cheers. Come on out and join us at 10:55.